Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and today we're going to continue in our series, Minor Prophets for Interesting Times. And we got about halfway through the book of Zechariah, and we're using Matthew Henry's Concise Commentary as a guide to get us through it, because much of the cryptic language that is there, of course, some easy to understand, but some very cryptic for me, because perhaps if I had been living in the time that Zechariah was speaking, I would understand a lot more. Perhaps we're going to just jump right in, though, to chapter 8 and verse 1 of Zechariah and see where it takes us. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Now, this part of Ezekiel's or Zechariah is pretty easy to figure out. The children of Israel had spent most of the last 7 years in Babylon as captives. And the promise was that they would be able to return to the land. And so we see that God is going to uphold his promise here in the word from Zechariah to the people there. Let's see what Matthew Henry has to say about this here. The sins of Zion were her worst enemies. God will take away her sins, and then no other enemy shall hurt her. Those who profess religion must adorn their profession by godliness and honesty. When become a city of truth and a mountain of holiness, Jerusalem is peaceable and prosperous. Beautifully describe a state of great outward peace, attended with plenty, temperance, and contentment. The scattered Israelites shall be brought together from all parts. God will never leave nor forsake them in a way of mercy. For this he has promised them, that they shall never leave nor forsake him in a way of duty, as they have promised him. These promises were partially fulfilled in the Jewish church, betwixt the captivity and the time of Christ's coming, and they had fuller accomplishment in the gospel church. But the full import must be as to the future times of the Christian church, or the future restoration of the Jews. With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So far are God's thoughts and ways above ours. In the present low state of vital godliness, we can hardly conceive that so complete a change can be made, but a change thus extensive and glorious can be brought to pass by the almighty power of the new creating Spirit in less time than he was pleased to employ in creating the world. Let the hands of all who labor in the cause of the gospel be strong, serving the Lord in true holiness, assured that their labor shall not be in vain. Zechariah 8, verse 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, and the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all things. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, let your hands be strong, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. When God comes toward us in ways of mercy, we must meet him with joy and thankfulness. Therefore, be faithful and honest in all your dealings, and let it be a pleasure to you to be so, though thereby you come short of the gains others get dishonestly. And, as much as in you lies, live peaceably with all men. Let the truths of God rule in your hearts, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Thus the ancient servants of God drew the notice of the heathen neighbors, whose prejudices were softened, and great increase to the church shall be made. Hitherto, the Jews had been prone to learn the idolatries of other nations. What more unlikely than that they should teach religion to their conquerors and to all the principal nations of the earth? Yet this is expressly foretold, and it came to pass. Hitherto, the prophecy has been wonderfully fulfilled, and no doubt future events will explain it further. It is good to be with those who have God with them. If we take God for our God, we must take his people for our people, and be willing to take our lot with them. But let not anyone think that mere zeal, either for Jews or Gentiles, will stand in the place of personal religion. Let us be living epistles of Christ, known and read of all men, so that others may wish to go with us and to have their portion with us in the realms of bliss. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 18. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh month, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness, cheerful feasts. Therefore love the truth and peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also, yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, and in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Okay, only those who lay their hands to the plow of duty shall have them strengthened with the promises of mercy. Those who avoid their father's faults have the curse turned into a blessing. Those who believe the promises were to show their faith by their works and to wait the fulfillment. When God is displeased, He can cause trade to decay and set every man against his neighbor. But when He returns in mercy, all is happy and prosperous. Surely believers in Christ must not trifle with the exhortation to put away with lying and to speak every man peace with his neighbor, to hate what the Lord hates, and to love that wherein He delights. And all I can say about that is amen. To hate what God hates and to love that wherein He delights should be the meditation and the prayer of our heart at any time. Jumping into chapter 9 and verse 1 of Zechariah. The burden of the word of the Lord in the land of Hadrach, and Damascus shall be the rest thereof, when the eyes of man, as of all the tribes of Israel, shall be toward the Lord. And Hamath also shall border thereby, Tyrus and Zidon, though it be very wise. And Tyrus did build herself a stronghold, and heaped up silver as dust, and fine gold as mire in the streets. Behold, the Lord will cast her out, and He will smite her power in the sea, and she shall be devoured with fire. Ashkelon shall see it, and fear. Gaza also shall see it, and be very sorrowful. And Ekron, for her expectation shall be ashamed. And the king shall perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon shall not be inhabited. And a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines. And I will take away his blood out of his mouth, and his abominations from between his teeth. But he that remaineth, even he, shall be for our God, and he shall be as a governor in Judah, and Ekron as a Jebusite. And I will encamp about mine house because of the army, because of him that passeth by, and because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through them any more. For now have I seen with my eyes. See what our good friend Matthew Henry has to say. Here are judgments foretold on several nations. While the Macedonians and Alexander's successors were in warfare in these countries, the Lord promised to protect His people. God's house lies in the midst of an enemy's country. His church is a lily among thorns. God's power and goodness are seen in her special preservation. The Lord encamps about His church, and while armies of proud oppressors shall pass by and return, His eyes watch over her so that they cannot prevail. And shortly the time will come when no exactor shall pass by her anymore. Matthew Henry has two commentaries. So he has the concise, which is the one I've been using, and sometimes a little too brief. So I'm gonna look at this to get a little more detail on these nations around about Israel. After the precious promises, we had the foregoing chapter of favor to God's people. Their persecutors who hated them come to be reckoned with, those particularly that bordered close upon them. One, the Syrians had been bad neighbors to Israel, and God had a controversy with them. The word of the Lord shall be a burden in the land of Hadrach, that is, of Syria. but it does not appear why it is so called, that the kingdom is meant is plain, because Damascus, the metropolis of that kingdom, is said to be the rest of this burden, that is, the judgments here threatened shall light and lie upon that city. Those are miserable upon whom the burden of the word of the Lord rests, upon whom the wrath of God abides. For it is a weight that they can neither shake off nor bear up under. There are those whom God causes his fury to rest upon, those whom the wrath of God makes its mark, it will be sure to hit. Those whom it makes the rest, it will be sure to sink. And the reason of this burden's resting on Damascus is because the eyes of man, as of all the tribes of Israel, or rather, even of all the tribes of Israel, are toward the Lord, because the people of God, by faith and prayer, took up to him for succor a relief and depend upon him to take their part against their enemies. Note, this is a sign that God is about to appear remarkably for his people when he raises their believing expectations from him and dependence upon him, and when by his grace he turns them from idols to himself. At that day shall a man look to his Maker. It may be read thus: For the Lord has an eye upon man, and upon all the tribes of Israel. He is King of nations, as well as King of saints. He governs the world as well as the church, and therefore will punish the sins of other people as well as those of his own people. God is judge of all, and therefore all must give account of themselves to him. When St. Paul was converted at Damascus and preached there and disputed with the Jews, then the word of the Lord might be said to rest there, and then the eyes of men, of other men besides the tribes of Israel, began to be toward the Lord. Hamath, a country which lay north of Damascus, and which we often read of, shall border thereby. It joins to Syria, and shall share in the burden of the word of the Lord that rests upon Damascus. The Jews have a proverb: Woe to the wicked man, and woe to his neighbor, who is in danger of partaking in his sins and his plagues. Woe to the land of Hadrach, and woe to Hamath that borders thereby. 2. Tyre and Zidon come next to be called to an account here, as in other prophecies. Observe here. 1. Tyrus flourishing, thinking herself very safe, and ready to set God's judgments only at a distance, but at defiance, for she is very wise. It is spoken ironically. She thinks herself very wise, and able to outwit even the wisdom of God. It is granted that her king is a great politician, and that her statesmen are so. But with all her wit and policy, they shall not be able to evade the judgments of God when they come with commission. There is no wisdom nor counsel against the Lord. Nay, it is his honor to take the wise in their own craftiness. She is very strong and well fortified, both by nature and art. Tyrus did build herself a stronghold, which she thought could never be brought down nor got over. She is very rich, and money is a defense. It is the sinews of war. By her vast trade she has heaped up silver as dust, and fine gold as mire in the streets. That is, she has an abundance of them, heaps of silver, common as heaps of sand. Solomon made silver to be in Jerusalem as the stones of the streets. But Tyre went further, and made fine gold to be as the mire of the streets. It were well if we could all learn to look upon it in comparison with the merchandise of wisdom and grace and the gains thereof. 2. Tyrus falling. After all, her wisdom and wealth and strength shall not be able to secure her. The Lord will cast her out of that stronghold wherein she has fortified herself, and make her poor, so some read it, there have been instances of those that have fallen from the height of plenty to the depth of poverty, and great riches have come to nothing. God will smite her power in the sea. Her being surrounded by water shall not secure her, but she shall be devoured with fire and burnt down to the ground. Tyrus, being seated in the midst of the water, was, one would have thought, in danger of being sometime or other overflowed or washed away by that. Yet God chooses to destroy it by the contrary element. Sometimes he brings ruin upon his enemies by those means which they least suspect. Water enough was nigh at hand to quench the flames of Tyre, and yet by them shall she be devoured. For who can put out the fire which the breath of the Almighty blows up? Okay, we're gonna stop there for a minute, and we're gonna take a break here, and we will continue with Zechariah at chapter 9 when we return. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is part of our Minor Prophets for Interesting Times, the book of Zechariah. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Visit crosstheborder.org, CROSS, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind Rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the left-behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, CROSS, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We are going through the book of Zechariah, one of the minor prophets, and the series is called Minor Prophets for Interesting Times. Now, we've got to by chapter 9 of the book of Zechariah, and we see that Israel is being foretold that their restoration to the land, time of peace and relative prosperity that will come upon them, and last up through about the time of Christ, for the next, 400 to 500 years from the time that Zechariah wrote. So upon restoring Israel to the land and all those promises that come with that, God pronounces judgment beginning in chapter 9 on the nations around Israel. And as it's been said many times, judgment begins at the house of God, Well, it certainly does begin at the house of God, but where does it end? Where does it end? It ends with the nations that surround God's people and the people that are around His people. Let's continue with the judgment of God from chapter 9 of Zechariah. And we're looking at Matthew Henry's commentary for some details on that time. Continuing here, God next contends with the Philistines, with their great cities and great lords that bordered southward upon Israel. They shall be alarmed and affrighted by the word of the Lord, lighting and resting upon Damascus. The disgraces of Israel had many a time been published in the streets of Ashkelon, and they had triumphed in them. But now Ashkelon shall see the ruin of her friends and allies, and shall fear. Gaza also shall see it, and be very sorrowful, and Ekron, including that their own turns come next. Now that the cup of trembling goes round, what will become of their house when their neighbors is on fire? They had looked upon Tyre and Sidon as a barrier to their country, but when those strong cities were ruined, their expectations from them were ashamed, as our expectation from all creatures will be in the issue. 2. They shall themselves be ruined and wasted. The government shall be dissolved. The king shall perish from Gaza. Not only the present king shall be cut off, but there shall be no succession, no successor. 2. The city shall be dispeopled. Ashkelon shall not be inhabited. The rightful owner shall be expelled, either slain or carried into captivity. 3. Foreigners shall take possession of their land and become masters of all its wealth. A bastard shall dwell in Ashdod. A spurious brood of strangers shall enter upon the inheritance of the natives, when they have no more right than a bastard has to the estates of the legitimate children. And thus God will cut off the pride of the Philistines, all of the strength and wealth which they prided themselves in, and which were the ground of their confidence in themselves and their contempt of the Israel of God. This prophecy of the destruction of the Philistines and of Damascus and Tyre was accomplished not long after this by Alexander the Great, who ravaged all these countries with his victorious army, took the cities and planted colonies in them, which Quintus Curtius gives a particular account of the history of his conquests. And some think he is meant by the bastard that shall dwell in Ashdod, for his mother Olympia owned him begotten in adultery, but pretended it was by Jupiter. The Jews afterwards got ground of the Philistines, Syrians, and others of their neighbor, and took some of their cities from them, and possessed their countries, as appears by the histories of Josephus and the Maccabees, and this was foretold. 3. Some among them shall be converted, and brought home to God, by his gospel and grace. So some understand, as a promise, 1. That God would take away their sins, that God would take away the sins of these nations, their blood and their abominations, their cruelties and their idolatries. God will part between them and these sins which they have rolled under their tongue as a sweet morsel, and are as loath to part with as men are to part with the meat out of their mouths, and which they hold fast between their teeth. Nothing is too hard for the grace of God to do, that he would accept a remnant of them for his own. He that remains shall be for our God. God would preserve a remnant even of these nations that should be the monuments of his mercy and grace and be set apart for him. And the disadvantages of their birth shall be no bar to their acceptance with God. But a Philistine shall be as acceptable to God upon gospel terms as one as Judah, nay, as a governor or chief one in Judah, and a man of Ekron shall be as a Jebusite, or a man of Jerusalem, as a proselyted Jebusite, as Araunah or the Jebusite. In Christ Jesus there is no distinction of nations, but all are one in Him, all alike welcome to Him. For in all this God intends mercy for Israel, and it is in kindness to them that God will deal thus with the neighboring nations, to avenge their quarrel for what is past, and to secure for them a future. Thus some understand the seventh verse as intimating, one, that thus God would deliver His people from their bloody adversaries who hated them and to whom they were an abomination when they were just ready to devour them and make a prey of them. I will take away His blood, that is, the blood of Israel, out of the mouth of the Philistines and from between their teeth, when in their hatred of them and enmity to them they were greedily devouring them. Two, that lie would thus give them victory and dominion over them, and he that remains, that is the remnant of Israel, shall be for our God, shall be taken into His favor, and shall own Him and be owned by Him, and he shall be as a governor in Judah. And the Jews have been long in servitude. They shall recover their ancient dignity and be victorious, as David and other governors in Judah formerly were. And Ekron, that is the Philistines, shall be as the Jebusites, and the rest of the devoted nations, who are brought into subjection under them. However, this is plainly the sense of Zechariah 9:8, that God will take His people under His special protection, and therefore will weaken their neighbors, that it may not be in their power to do them a mischief. I will encamp about my house because of the army. Note, God's house lies in the midst of an enemy's country, and His church is a lily among thorns, and therefore God's power and goodness are to be observed in the special preservation of it, the camp of the saints being a little flock in comparison with the numerous armies of the powers of darkness that are set against it round about, would certainly be swallowed up if the angels of God did not encamp about it, as they did about Elisha, to deliver it. When the times are unusually perilous, when armies are marching and countermarching, and all bearing ill will to Zion, then Providence will, as it were, double its guard upon the church of God because of Him that passes by and because of Him that returns, that whether He return a conqueror or conquered, He may do it no harm. And as none that pass by shall hurt them, so no oppressor shall pass through them any more. They shall have no enemy within themselves to rule them with rigor and to make their lives bitter to them with sore bondage, as of old in Egypt. This was fulfilled when, for some time after the struggles of the Maccabees, Judah was a free and flourishing state, or perhaps when Alexander the Great, struck with an awe of Judas the high priest, favored the Jews and took them under his protection, and at the same time he wasted the neighboring countries. And the reason given for all this is, for now have I seen with my eyes, now have I carefully distinguished between my people and other people, with whom before they seemed to have their lot in common, and have made it to appear that I know those that are mine. This agrees with the Psalms, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Now His eyes, which run to and fro through the earth, shall fix upon them, that He may show Himself tender of them and strong on their behalf. Okay, chapter 9 of Zechariah and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from river even to the ends of the earth. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant have I sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. When I bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as a sword of a mighty man. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. And the Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones. And they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls and as the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. The prophet breaks forth into a joyful representation of the coming of the Messiah, of whom the ancient Jews explained in this prophecy. He took the character of their king. When he entered Jerusalem amidst the hosannas of the multitude. But his kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It shall not be advanced by outward force or carnal weapons. His gospel shall be preached to the world and be received among the heathen. A sinful state is a state of bondage. It is a pit or dungeon in which there is no water, no comfort, and we are all by nature prisoners in this pit. Through the precious blood of Christ, many prisoners of Satan have been set at liberty from the horrible pit in which they must otherwise have perished, without hope or comfort. While we admire him, let us seek that his holiness and truth may be shown in our own spirits and conduct. These promises have accomplishment in the spiritual blessings of the gospel which we enjoy by Jesus Christ. As the deliverance of the Jews was typical of redemption by Christ, so this invitation speaks to all the language of the gospel call. Sinners are prisoners, but prisoners of hope. Their case is sad, but not desperate, for there is hope in Israel concerning them. Christ is a stronghold, a strong tower in whom believers are safe from the fear of the wrath of God, the curse of the law, and the assaults of spiritual enemies. To him we must turn with lively faith. To him we must flee and trust in his name under all trials and sufferings. It is here promised that the Lord would deliver his people. This passage also refers to the apostles and the preachers of the gospel in the early ages. God was evidently with them. His words from their lips pierced the hearts and consciences of the hearers. They were wondrously defended in persecution and were filled with the influences of the Holy Spirit. They were saved by the Good Shepherd as his flock and honored as jewels of his crown. The gifts, graces, and consolations of the Spirit poured forth on the day of Pentecost and in succeeding times are represented. Sharp have been, and still will be, the conflicts of Zion's sons, but their God will give them success. The more we are employed and satisfied with his goodness, the more we shall admire the beauty revealed in the Redeemer. Whatever gifts God bestows on us, we must serve Him cheerfully with them, and when refreshed with blessings, we must say, "How great is His goodness." Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain. To every one grass in the field. For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore they went their way as a flock, and were troubled, because there was no shepherd. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats. For the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in battle. Out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow, and out of him every oppressor together. And they shall be as mighty men, which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. And they shall fight, because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded. Spiritual blessings had been promised under figurative allusions to earthly plenty. Seasonable rain is a great mercy, which we may ask of God when there is most need of it, and we may look for it to come. We must, in our prayers, ask for mercies in their proper time. The Lord would make bright clouds and give showers of rain. This may be an exhortation to seek the influences of the Holy Spirit in faith and by prayer, through which the blessings held forth in the promises are obtained and enjoyed. The prophet shows the folly of making addresses to idols, as their fathers had done. The Lord visited the remnant of his flock in mercy, and was about to renew their courage and strength for conflict and victory. Every creature is to us what God makes it to be. Everyone raised to support the nation, as a cornerstone does the building, or to unite those that differ, as nails join the different timbers, must come from the Lord, and those employed to overcome their enemies must have strength and success from Him. This may be applied to Christ. To Him we must look to raise up persons to unite, support, and defend His people. He will never say, "Seek ye me in vain." Zechariah 10, verse 6. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their hearts shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their hearts shall rejoice in the Lord. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. And I shall sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and gather them all out of Syria. And I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. And he shall pass through the sea with affliction, and shall smite the waves of the sea, and all the deeps of the river shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. Here are precious promises to the people of God, which look to the state of the Jews, and even to the latter days of the church. Preaching the gospel is God's call for souls to come to Jesus Christ. Those whom Christ redeemed by His blood, God will gather by His grace. Difficulties shall be got over easily and effectually, as those in the way of the deliverance out of Egypt. God Himself will be their strength and their song. When we resist, and so overcome our spiritual enemies, then our hearts shall rejoice. If God strengthen us, we must bestir ourselves in all the duties of the Christian life, must be active in the work of God, and we must do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border. We're going through Zechariah. Just completed, I believe we completed chapter 10 there. And we will continue when we come back in a few minutes. The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is we're going through the book of Zechariah. We got all the way to chapter 11. And we're going to jump in right there at chapter 11. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 1. "Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. Howl, O ye oaks of Bashan, for the force of the vintage is come down. There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled, a voice of the roaring of the young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled." In a figurative expressions that destruction of Jerusalem and of the Jewish church and nation is foretold, which our Lord Jesus, when the time was at hand, prophesied plainly and expressly, how can the fir tree stand if the cedars fall? The falls of the wise and good into sin, and the falls of the rich and great into trouble, are loud alarms to those every way their inferiors. It is sad with a people when those who should be as shepherds to them are as young lions. The pride of Jordan was the thickets on the banks. And when the river overflowed the banks, the lions came up from them roaring. Thus the doom of Jerusalem may alarm other churches. And that's fairly concise there. Sometimes I don't like to get into the regular commentary because it seems too long. But I think to start out this, I think we'll run out of time if I do that. Well, let's see if we can jump into this for ourselves. Okay. Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of the slaughter, whose possessors slay them and hold themselves not guilty. And they that sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not. For I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord, but lo, I will deliver the men every one to his neighbor's hand, and into the hand of his king, and they shall smite the land, and out of their hand I will not deliver them. And I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. And I took unto me two staves, the one I called beauty, and the other I called bands, and I fed the flock. Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul abhorred me. Then said I will not feed you, that dieth, let it die, and that is to be cut off, let it be cut off, and let the rest eat every one the flesh of another. And I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant which I had made with all the people. And it was broken in that day. And so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said, come unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Then I cut asunder my other staff, even bands, that it might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. Christ came into this world for judgment to the Jewish church and nation, which were wretchedly corrupt and degenerate. Those have their minds woefully blinded who do ill and justify themselves in it. But God will not hold those guiltless who hold themselves so. How can we go to God to beg a blessing on unlawful methods of getting wealth, or to return thanks for success in them? There was a general decay of religion among them, and they regarded it not. The good shepherd would feed his flock, but his attention would chiefly be directed to the poor. As an emblem, the prophet seems to have taken two staves. Beauty denoted the privileges of the Jewish nation in their national covenant. The other, called bands, denoting the harmony which hitherto united them as the flock of God. But they chose to cleave to false teachers. The carnal mind and the friendship of the world are enmity to God, and God hates all the workers of iniquity. It is easy to foresee what this will end in. The prophet demanded wages or reward, and receive 30 pieces of silver. By divine direction, he cast it to the potter, as in disdain for the smallness of the sum. This shadowed forth the bargain of Judas to betray Christ, and the final method of applying it. Nothing ruins a people so certainly as weakening the brotherhood among them. This follows the dissolving of the covenant between God and them. When sin abounds, love waxes cold, and civil contests follow. No wonder if those fall out among themselves who have provoked God to fall out with them. Willful contempt of Christ is the great cause of men's ruin. And if professors rightly valued Christ, they would not contend about little matters. Zechariah 11:15. And the Lord said unto me, Take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat, and tear their claws into pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock! The sword shall be upon his arm, and his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye be utterly darkened. God, having showed the misery of this people in their being justly left by the good shepherd, shows their further misery in being abused by foolish shepherds. The description suits the character Christ gives of the scribes and Pharisees. They never do anything to support the weak or comfort the feeble-minded, but seek their own ease while they are barbarous to the flock. The idle shepherd has the garb and appearance of a shepherd, receives submission, and is supported at much expense, but he leaves the flock to perish through neglect, or leads them to ruin by his example. This suits many in different churches and nations, but the warning had an awful fulfillment in the Jewish teachers, and while such deceive others to their ruin, they will themselves have the deepest condemnation. Zechariah 12, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah will say in their heart, The inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength, in the Lord of hosts their God. In that day I will make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, and the angel of the Lord before them. So it gets a little cryptic there toward the end of this portion here. Let's see what our good friend Matthew Henry has to say, what he can, how he can enlighten us on this. Here is a divine prediction, which will be a heavy burden to all the enemies of the church. But it is for Israel, for their comfort and benefit. It is promised that God will make foolish the counsels and weaken the courage of the enemies of the church. The exact meaning is not clear, but God often begins by calling the poor and despised, and in that day even the feeblest will resemble David and be as eminent in courage and everything good. Desirable indeed it is that the examples and labors of Christians should render them fire among the wood, as a torch in the sheaf, to kindle the flame of divine love, to spread religion on the right hand and the left. And I was hoping to get a little more about this here in the beginning. This scripture here, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling to all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and Jerusalem." Now, I see a lot in the futurist interpretation of prophecy that they use this, even today, that Jerusalem is a cup of trembling to all the people round about. But here, I think we're giving a time when this is applicable too. It says, "When they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and Jerusalem." And historically, this was of course a prophecy about the future from the time that it was given by Zechariah. The people are going to return to the land, and of course, as we saw in the previous chapter, we have some messianic prophecy given. And this is what goes beyond the messianic prophecy, and we're looking at about 70 AD. So does this apply today, or does it apply to 70 AD, when they shall be in a siege both against Judah and Jerusalem? And this was fulfilled. The siege was against Judah and Jerusalem about 70 AD and the time leading up to the total desolation. And this was foretold by Jesus once again during his earthly ministry. He warned his disciples of what was coming, and certainly it came. Now, there was a prior siege, of course. Babylon sieged the city and overtook it, which led to where Zechariah and Israel was at the time that Zechariah was writing, during the 70 years desolation. So we see in Zechariah so forth an exhortation for the children of Israel not to commit the same sins that their fathers committed, which led to their captivity, and then a restoration of Israel to the land of Judah and Jerusalem. And for 500 years they would enjoy that restoration for the most part. And then we see now the prophecy of about the time the Messiah returns and what would result when they rejected their Messiah by the siege once again of both Judah and Jerusalem. And Jesus' words were that they will take you captive or kill you. They would sell you as slaves into the nations. And those that did not die by the sword in Judah, and of course we're speaking of the Romans leading up to 70 AD and what happened there with the desolation, those that were not killed by the sword would be taken captive and sold and dispersed among the nations, and that of the Jews. Of course, God's people, the spiritual Israel, early Christians, they all obeyed the word of the Lord, they obeyed the word of the prophets, and they fled Israel and Judah, selling their properties and having all things in common. We read about at one instance, but in one way or another, they were obedient to the words of the Messiah, and they left the land before the desolation came. Let us continue here in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 9. "And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Obvious references to the Messiah here. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, and the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart. All the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. The day here spoken of is the day of Jerusalem's defense and deliverance, that glorious day when God will appear for the salvation of his people. In Christ's first coming, he bruised the serpent's head and broke all the powers of darkness that fought against God's kingdom among men. In his second coming, he will complete their destruction when he shall put down all opposing rule, principality, and power, and death itself shall be swallowed up in that victory. The Holy Spirit is gracious and merciful, and is the author of all grace or holiness. He also is the spirit of supplications, and shows men their ignorance, want, guilt, misery, and danger. At the time here foretold, the Jews will know who the crucified Jesus was. Then they shall look by faith to him and mourn with the deepest sorrow, not only in public but in private, even each one separately. There is a holy mourning, the effect of the pouring out of the Spirit, a mourning for sin, which quickens faith in Christ and qualifies for joy in God. This mourning is a fruit of the Spirit of grace, a proof of a work of grace in the soul, and of the spirit of supplications. It is fulfilled in all who sorrow for sin after a godly sort. They look to Christ crucified and mourn for him. Looking by faith upon the cross of Christ will cause us to mourn for sin after a godly sort. Okay, we're about to go into a break here. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going through the prophecy, the minor prophet, and one named Zechariah. And we're leaning heavily upon Matthew Henry. And I suggest that all utilize the commentaries of Matthew Henry when they get to cryptic or difficult portions of the scripture. Much of this, as we get to the Messianic period, is self-explanatory. But Matthew Henry does a good job of sorting it out for us, especially in that last chapter, chapter 12 there. Total agreement there. So, you're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. Go to my website and be sure to subscribe there. And while you're there, there's a free ebook tab. Make sure you click on that and you get a copy of The Rapture Will Be Canceled. And while you're there, also made available at the same time, will be The Last Prophecy. And that is the revelation according to E.B. Eliot's Hori Apocalyptike. And so you can get a free copy of that. Both of these available for absolutely no cost. Just follow the instructions there and at crossborder.org. Click on the free ebook tab and subscribe and leave a comment. And we'll make sure that you get those as soon as you complete your subscription. Okay, when we get back, we're going to jump into chapter 13 and 14 of Zechariah and close this study.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get left behind rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the Revelation, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the left behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going through the book of Zechariah at this time. We have got to chapter 13. So let's jump right in here to the text. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him will say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord, and his father and mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. And it shall come to pass in the day that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive, but he shall say, I am no prophet, I am an husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Well, I'm going to need a little bit of help here from Matthew Henry. It's a very cryptic section here. I get the wounds in the hands seem to be a reference, a cryptic reference to the Messiah. In the time mentioned at the close of the foregoing chapter, a fountain would be open to the rulers and people of the Jews in which to wash away their sins, even the atoning blood of Christ. I got that part. United with his sanctifying grace. It has hitherto been closed to the unbelieving nation of Israel. But when the Spirit of grace shall humble and soften their hearts, he will open it to them also. This fountain open is the pierced side of Christ. We are all as an unclean thing. Behold, a fountain opened for us to wash in, and streams flowing to us from that fountain, the blood of Christ. and God's pardoning mercy in that blood, made known in the new covenant, are a fountain always flowing that never can be emptied. It is open for all believers who, as the spiritual seed of Christ, are the house of David, and as living members of the church, are inhabitants of Jerusalem. Christ, by the power of his grace, takes away the dominion of sin, even of beloved sins. Those who are washed in the fountain open, as they are justified, so they are sanctified. Souls are bought off from the world and the flesh, those two great idols, that they may cleave to God only. The thorough reformation, which will take place on the conversion of Israel to Christ, is here foretold. False prophets shall be convinced of their sin and folly, and return to their proper employments. When convinced that we are gone out of the way of duty, we must show the truth of our repentance by returning to it again. It is well to acknowledge those to be friends who by severe discipline are instrumental in bringing us to a site of error. For faithful are the wounds of a friend, and it is always well for us to recollect the wounds of our Savior. Often has he been wounded by professed friends, nay, even by his real disciples, when they act contrary to his word. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will return mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, It is my people, and they shall say, The Lord is my God. Here is a prophecy of the sufferings of Christ. God the Father gave the order to the sword of his justice to awake against his Son, when he freely made his soul an offering for sin. As God, he is called my fellow. Christ and the Father are one. He is the shepherd who was to lay down his life for the sheep. If a sacrifice, he must be slain. For without shedding of the life blood, there was no remission. This sword must awake against him. Yet he had no sin of his own to answer for. It may refer to the whole of Christ's sufferings, especially his agonies in the garden and on the cross, when he endured unspeakable anguish till divine justice was fully satisfied. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. This passage our Lord Jesus declares was fulfilled when all his disciples in the night wherein he was betrayed forsook him and fled. It has and shall have its accomplishment in the destruction of the corrupt and hypocritical part of the professed church. Because of the sin of the Jews in rejecting and crucifying Christ and in opposing his gospel, the Romans would destroy the greater part, but a remnant would be saved, and if we are his people, we shall be refined as gold. He will be God, and the end of all our trials and suffering will be praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains. For the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee, like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah the king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day in which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at eventime it shall be light. The Lord Jesus often stood upon the Mount of Olives when on earth. He ascended from heaven thence. He ascended from thence to heaven, and then desolations and distress came upon the Jewish nation. Such is the view taken of this figuratively, but many consider it as a notice of events yet unfulfilled, and that it relates to the troubles of which we cannot now form a full idea. Every believer, being related to God as his God, may triumph in the expectation of Christ's coming in power, and speak of it with pleasure. During a long season, the state of the church would be deformed by sin. There would be a mixture of truth and error, of happiness and misery. Such is the experience of God's people, a mingled state of grace and corruption. But when the season is at its worst and most unpromising, the Lord will turn darkness into light. Deliverance comes when God's people have done looking for it. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 8. And it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananiel unto the king's wine presses, and men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. Some consider the progress of the gospel beginning from Jerusalem is referred to by the living waters flowing from that city. Neither shall the gospel and means of grace, nor the graces of the Spirit wrought in the hearts of believers by those means ever fail, by reason either of the heat of persecution, or storms of temptation, or the blast of any other affliction. Tremendous judgments appear to be foretold, to be sent upon those who should oppose the settlement of the Jews in their own land. How far they are to be understood literally, events alone can determine. The furious rage and malice which had stir up men against each other are faint shadows of the enmity which reigns among those who have perished in their sins. Even the inferior creatures often suffer for the sin of man, and in his plagues, thus God will show his displeasure against sin. Zechariah 14, verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feasts of tabernacles. And it shall be that those who so will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up, and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seethe therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. It is impossible for all nations literally to come to Jerusalem once a year to keep a feast. It is evident that a figurative meaning must here be applied. Gospel worship is represented by the keeping of the Feast of Tabernacles. Every day of a Christian's life is a day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Every Lord's Day is especially the great day of the feast. Therefore, every day let us worship the Lord of hosts and keep every Lord's Day with peculiar solemnity. It is just for God to withhold the blessings of grace from those who do not attend the means of grace. It is a sin that is its own punishment. Those who forsake the duty forfeit the privilege of communion with God. A time of complete peace and purity of the church will arrive. Men will carry on their common affairs and their sacred services upon the same holy principles of faith, love, and obedience. Real holiness shall be more diffuse because there shall be a more plentiful pouring forth of the Spirit of holiness than ever before. There shall be holiness even in common things. Every action and every enjoyment of the believer should be so regulated according to the will of God that it may be directed to His glory. Our whole lives should be as one constant sacrifice or act of devotion. No selfish motive should prevail in any of our actions. But how far is the Christian church from this state of purity? Other times, however, are at hand, and the Lord will reform and enlarge His church, as He has promised. Yet in heaven alone will perfect holiness and happiness be found. And thus we end the book of Zechariah. And I see the harbingers here. I'm speaking of the Feast of Tabernacles, and our good friend Henry doing a good job to apply that figuratively to the church. And I also believe that there is somewhat prophetic in this, because he ends up telling us, yet in heaven alone, well, we sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and also in the resurrection when we meet the Lord in the air or the heavenlies, and so we shall ever be in that heavenly realm with Him. And in the age to come, when Christ sets up His kingdom on this earth, as foretold over and over again, even here in the book of Zechariah, that all of the other nations of the world will be done away with. And when I say nations, I don't mean the peoples. There will be people representative of all nations, but the governments of those nations, the principalities and powers, will all be done away with, because there shall be one King and one Lord, and that is Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah, who will set up His kingdom. And when that day comes, He will reign from Jerusalem, and all the nations of the earth will worship Him. And I believe many of the words here will be applicable even during that period, that 1,000 or millennial that 1,000-year period or millennial reign of Christ, I believe that we will observe the Feast of Tabernacles. As a matter of fact, I can't understand why the church did not adopt many of the feasts and holy days of God, why they preferred heathen holy days over God's holy days. Why? What is wrong with the Feast of Tabernacles? What is wrong with separating yourself from your life, from the world, for an 8-day feast from one Sabbath to the next, and having that camping trip where everyone goes out and focuses on God and each other? It's like a family reunion. That's what the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a big camp out where you leave the world and you leave all of your ambitions behind, and you take a week and go out into the wilderness. You know, you bring your Winnebago or your tent or whatever you have and all of your camping implements with you, and you hang out with your family for a week, with God's people for a week in the wilderness. What a camping trip. And though that may be hard for people to implement today, because we're all living according not to God's calendar, but a Roman calendar. And so I believe that here Matthew Henry directs us for the time that we're in correctly when he says we must apply these things figuratively. But I love his words here. I love the words that it is a sin that is its own punishment. Those who forsake the duty forfeit the privilege of communion with God. It is just for God to withhold the blessings of grace from those who do not attend the means of grace. Well, that's the end of Zechariah. You've been listening to Cross the Border. My name's Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. This entire study in two parts will be available at my website soon, if it's not already there. May the Almighty bless you as you continue in His kingdom every day until He comes, or until we go to meet Him. Cross the border into the kingdom of God and live forever. There is absolutely nothing more important.